And now, let me introduce to you our first speaker. She's relatively new to Hillside, but in this short time, she's had an immense impact. And today, she'll be sharing some of her testimony with you. Our very own youth coordinator, please welcome to the stage, Salome Joy.
Good morning, church. Well, about like 2 minutes ago, I was fine. And then 30 seconds ago, I started to get nervous. So apologies if I start shaking. First of all, I just want to start out with a call out. I see some familiar faces here that are probably new to the rest of you. Sorry, I just noticed somebody else. Hi to the Rowcroft family sitting there in the middle, to Dee sitting on the side, to my crew, Muhammad, Taylor, Ola, Sally, Heather, Will. These guys are my family. Not by blood, but they're here. And I just feel so blessed that they take time on their Sunday morning to come and to hear me share. So thank you guys so much for being here. So Father God, thank you for this story and this word that you have for me today, Lord. And I pray that you would just come and you would bring peace, Lord, that you would steady my voice, that you would calm my heart, Lord. And I know that I'm not here today to share my story, Lord, but I'm here today to share your story of love, your story of salvation, your story of hope with the church. Thank you, Father. So I actually want to start my testimony with a Bible verse. And it's from the Passion Translation, which is a beautiful translation. I chose that because my mum gave me a Bible earlier this year in the Passion Translation. And my mum has been such a legacy of love. And so this verse is about love. So I ask that you just bear with me while we read through it. And I ask that you let these words just soak into your heart and to begin to just prepare yourself for what I'm going to share. So 1 John 4, 7 to 21. Those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another, because God is love. Everyone who loves is fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge of him. The one who does not love has yet to know God, for God is love. The light of God's love shined within us when he sent his matchless Son into the world so that we might live through him. This is love. He loved us long before we loved him. It was his love, not ours. He proved it by sending his Son to be the pleasing sacrificial offering to take away our sins. Delightfully loved ones, if he loved us with such tremendous love, then loving one another should be our way of life. No one has ever gazed upon the fullness of God's splendor. But if we love one another, God makes his permanent home in us, and we make our permanent home in him. And his love is brought to its full expression in us. And he has given us his Spirit within us so that we can have the assurance that he lives in us and that we live in him. Moreover, we have seen with our own eyes and can testify to the truth that Father God has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. Those who give thanks that Jesus is the Son of God live in God and God lives in them. We have come into an intimate experience with God's love, and we trust in the love that he has for us. God is love. Those who are living in love are living in God, and God lives through them. By living in God, love has been brought to its full expression in us, so that we may fearlessly face the day of judgment. Because all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. Love never brings fear, for fear is always related to punishment. But love's perfection drives the fear of punishment far from our hearts. Whoever walks constantly afraid of punishment has not reached love's perfection. Our love for others is our grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to us. Anyone can say, "I love God," yet have hatred towards another believer. This makes him a phony. Because if you don't love a brother or sister who you can see, how can you truly love God who you can't see? For he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also demonstrate love for others. So I'd like to start with a disclaimer. I'm going to tell you my story, or part of my story, actually, a small part. And for some of you, it may feel like it's yours too. If you're uncomfortable, I pray for God's peace. If you're sad, I pray for his joy. And I ask that you don't bring up anything inside of your heart that God's not ready to bring up. If and when he does bring something up, he brings it into the light, I ask that you take it to him, that you leave it at the cross, because God will heal an open heart. Salome Joy. It's who I am. It's my name. And for those of you who don't know, it means peace. Peace, joy. It stands for my values, and I believe it is my calling in every season of life. Earlier this year, I removed my surname to highlight these two names that I was given at birth. And I preferred not to be tied to the situation that I was born into. I tell everyone that I was born a Christian because I don't remember when I first made a commitment. There have been so many times in my life where I have committed to follow him, and more than one or two of these have been significant. My parents were missionaries in Papua New Guinea before my dad contracted malaria. They returned to Australia and they had five children, perfecting it with the youngest who is here today. My father was an Anglican minister and we were involved with various churches throughout my childhood. So three of my siblings are serving God. The other is not yet. But I understand where he is because I've been through a similar journey. My first love was God. My early memories of falling in love with God and making up songs to describe how I felt and how I saw him. Dancing in church, knowing he was always watching me. My mother taught me how to worship God, and God always made me want to. It was a love so perfect and so innocent. But I was a child when love changed forever. How I loved, how others loved me. I began to see love in many forms. My earthly father was perhaps the most significant influence on my view of love. His love was twisted, evil, and perverse. I was his victim for many years, long after the abuse stopped. I was his victim to this new kind of love. One that left me confused and broken. I had no voice. How would anyone believe me if I spoke out? It took all the courage that I had to speak out, and the police were involved. My school knew. Everyone in my community knew what had happened to me. And they were shocked that such a perfect family could be hiding such horrific abuse. I moved out of home, but my father stayed. I was taken away from all of the support structures that I had built around me. My brother, who was only 26 at the time, took me in to live with his wife and three small children. My mother and I moved to the other side of the country. I accepted the consequences that my father refused to accept. I felt the crushing weight of my family's breakup on my shoulders at only 15. Perhaps I deserved it. See, perhaps I didn't deserve the first love anymore. These were the thoughts that I had because I couldn't feel God. All I felt was abandonment and pain. Whatever happened, it had to be my fault. I must have done something wrong. I punished myself beyond the pain of the abuse. I was fundamentally flawed. I was created to be rejected. So I cut and I burned. I jumped in front of cars. I walked down the most dangerous streets at ungodly hours because I had tried to kill myself so many times and I was mad because I had failed every single time. I was furious at myself for that. And slowly that anger turned outwards. I didn't deserve this. I picked myself off the ground and I turned to face the rest of the world and I said, "You owe me." Anyone and everyone became targets. I became a bully. I was too tough to confront. And if you confronted me, you would just become my next target in my next fit of rage. I pushed those who loved me away, and I built walls around myself determined not to let anyone close enough to hurt me again. From person to person, place to place, I took what I wanted and I justified my actions. I said, I don't owe you anything except that which was given to me. Betrayal, stolen innocence and injustice. Had it not been for God's grace and supernatural protection, I wouldn't be here with you now today. Slowly my anger began to burn out. I was tired of it and I was worried that I would end up amounting to nothing. I needed meaning. I sought a different kind of love, and it came. One relationship after the other, barely a week in between. I thought they were different. I thought by the second, I had finally figured out how to love. But I was still blind. I was selfish. I was not content with myself, and I seduced another to fill the void. I left a heart broken, a trust betrayed, and I turned to my next sin. Pride. So I stand before you today as an educated, experienced, skilled, well-rounded, intelligent, socially adept, knowledgeable, dual-lingual, well-travelled, cultured and connected 27-year-old. So if I'm all those things, how can I be a sinner? Well, the journey that I went through in discovering love for myself left me separated from my first loved. I rebelled. I rejected, I retaliated, I sought revenge, I looked for pleasure, and I found solace in pride. Sin entrenched all around me and I felt isolated and alone. I used my accomplishments to try to convince myself that I was worth loving. It was there that my first love brought me to my knees and reminded me of the commitment that I had made and will continue to make over and over and over again. The truth is that I stand here today before you, flawed, but also healed and with a relationship with my Savior. And I know that my idea of love still has holes and it still needs revelation. But I am on that journey. And I thank my Father for never giving up on me. In Romans 8, verses 38 to 39, it says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We love him because he first loved us. It all starts with him. He demonstrated his love with the ultimate sacrifice. So how can our love for him compare to that or even come close? We are not only called to love him, we are called to love each other. But how easy is it to love the person sitting beside you? Have a look at them. Have they showered this morning? Mate. My sense of smell is my number one, so I struggle with that. I'll tell you that. How easy is it to love your boss when he keeps calling you in on weekends? What about that person that cut in front of you at the grocery store? The kids who keep burning your mail? Mate, what about that person who bumped into your car and didn't leave a note? I tell you, I've done far worse things than that. Yet not once do I see a moment where God thought, no, that's the limit. She's too hard to love. He never stopped loving me, not even when I pledged to make that impossible for him or for anyone else. I willfully walked away from the only real love that I had ever known. But it was his love that brought me back to him. His love was committed to me, knowing full well that to this day, I still have a long way to go. His love is also committed to you. You're never too hard for God to love. And if we love with the same love that God gives us, we can walk beside those who are hard to love. And we may find ourselves loving to an extent that we never thought possible. I believe as Christians, we are called to love out of the overflow of the Holy Spirit in our lives, from the overflow of the love that God gives us. And if I believe that if we do this, then we'll never run short of love. I want to ask you a few questions today. And I'm asking myself this. So just have a think. Some of them might be a bit confronting, but I feel compelled to ask these. Are you hard to love? Are there things in your life that have made you bitter, resentful, angry? Are you pushing away the people who love and care for you? How can you let others love you? Perhaps it's not in the way that you'd like them to, but it's the way that they are offering. And what about others? Are you willing to love those around you? Some of them might be pretty hard to love. Some of them might smell. What are the limits of your love? See, God doesn't have a limit. So are you loving with yourself and your own love? Or are you loving with his heart and his love that he has given for his people? I started my story and my testimony with a simple request. And I asked that you didn't bring up anything inside of your heart that God's not ready to bring up. But I imagine that some of you are perhaps sitting there right now with something weighing heavy on your heart. And God sees that. He knows everything about it, even the things that you might not know. So in this moment, I just ask you to take a time to give God this burden. So it might be heavy, it might be all-consuming, it might be hidden. But Father God is here and he's waiting to take it from you. And he wants to take your hand and to just throw that weight off your shoulders and to lead you on paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I encourage you that if this burden is too heavy for you to bear, I ask that you seek help. Seek godly counsel. Because that's what we're here for. We're a community. We're here to love each other. And do not be afraid to reach out if you need to. I would like to invite James up to speak. And if you want to come up, and I would also like to pray. I'd like to pray just to close off this testimony. But I also want to pray and to bless James because we're in this together. Okay. Heavenly Father, who is far above all things, whose ways are higher than our ways, whose plans are greater than our plans, thank you for giving me a story filled with hope and joy to share with this church. Thank you for those who are waiting to have one of those stories of their own to share and to encourage others. I pray for those whose hearts have been stirred today. Would you come and bring your peace and joy to the church? Would you bring things to the light that have been hiding in the dark? Would you bring a wave of healing and restoration to the lives of individuals and in families? Would you cause us to love with an abundance rather than with the remainder? Thank you for your perfect love. And Lord, I bless James. I bless James as he's about to bring the word, Lord. And I know that you have filled him with your spirit, God. And I pray that the hearts here would be open to hear what he has to say.